Good morning. Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Again, we're not starting it today, but we're getting our vision from the Lord, right? And we don't get that from, like I said, from signs and billboards and TV commercials and dreams and stuff like that. We get it from God's word. He's given it to us. He's given us his mind. He's given us everything that we need right here in his book. And we need to make sure that we see clearly, because if not, then we're going to be venturing down paths that we ought not be on and be off in the weeds and really not know what we're even doing in the weeds. We'll find ourselves in a place that we're like, why am I here? And not even know. And God has preserved his word for us so that we can, man, know, one, if we're saved, that we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? We're sealed up. We're with him even now, even living in this awful world that we live in today. Man, we're not a part of this world. So last week, we began to look at this great opportunity that God's given us. And this charge that he's given us to go and to get off our seats, get off our rear ends, put our boots on, strap them up, and to go and to be about his business and be a servant of him. And the Bible tells us it very clearly tells us in the book of Luke to look onto the fields, open your eyes and look out in front of you, because, man, they're white unto harvest. They're ready. If we are just willing to go and to be obedient and to take God's word and see it set souls free, not because of who we are, but because of who's in us and who we serve, and we just get to be messengers. We just get the amazing opportunity to take God's word into the darkest of darks and into the people that maybe have heard the gospel 1,000 times, or maybe to one soul that's never heard it. And it's not our place and our choice, I'm going to talk about a little bit later, to pick and choose who we go to and who we don't go to. And the Bible tells us a familiar verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And the question that we're faced with is, what am I doing? Where do I fit into that? Am I even a part of that? Are we planting and watering the souls of Clinton, Missouri? Are we going out and seeking the great opportunity that is right before us? You guys, we don't have to look very hard is the thing. Amen. Because it's right in front of us. If we would just open our eyes and open our heart to see that instead of seeing all the negativity and all of the bad, and we just see the field, man, it's so beautiful and it's so white unto harvest, and God's given me such a great opportunity, right? Me, you, personally, he's given us an opportunity to go to these souls. And we got to be seeking that great opportunity. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, okay? This is a side note, and this probably should have been in the announcements, but it fits so well, is that we have a great opportunity right now at this very moment to get the seed out of the barn and get it where it needs to go. Okay, we have a missionary, right? Joe and Amy Hendricksman in Oaxaca, Mexico. And they just had a semi-load, like for real size semi-load of scripture. Like 17,000 whole Bibles and a million tracts and like numbers that would blow your mind of God's word that just showed up, right? It didn't just show up. There was people that got it where it needed to go. And what's amazing about it is the pastors are begging for it down there, all over central, whatever, you know, all over Mexico. And it fell out of my brain. So they're begging for God's word. And you're like, well, man, we have God's word. We can just go to the store and buy God's word. Yeah, we can, and they can too, but it costs money, and there's a lot of poor people there, and they can't get God's word. So, man, God's using the resources here in America to print and assemble God's word and get it on a semi-truck and get it across the border into Mexico and into the depths of Mexico to souls that have never laid their eyes on God's word before in their own language. And we have an opportunity to help fund that, okay? I don't ask you guys to give money. I don't talk about that all the time, but man, we have a great opportunity for $175 a pallet which is a lot of scripture, okay? Think about how many tracks you could fit on one pallet. You know, that's a lot, right? Maybe we could sponsor a million tracks to go out. Talk about sowing some seed, right? And we may not be the ones handing it out, but we're the ones helping get it there. Okay, so New Life, by faith, we sponsored 3 pallets, okay? And you guys, and I myself, have an opportunity to give towards that, okay? They needed the money right away. The semi-truck was coming, and they're like, we got to pay the bill. And God's like, listen, get involved in this. So if you feel like, if you feel led, the next 3 weeks, we'll give you 3 weeks to give towards that. And it was $525. Maybe you just want to write a check for $525 and cover that. And then somebody else wants to give towards that as well. Guess what? There's another one coming in February. There's another one coming in June. So it's not like that money is just going to sit somewhere. That money is being used for God's glory. And what an opportunity that we can have sitting right here to write a check, to give some money. Just make sure that when you do that, it's above and beyond your regular giving, right? This doesn't take place of your tithe. And you designate it to Bibles to Oaxaca. And good luck spelling that, right? It starts with an O. I'll just give you a hint. So just make sure that that's designated so that funds get where they need to go. And, man, I know what God can do through that. So, and also, okay, so I have an opportunity to give towards that. We also have an opportunity to go and see it. Okay, this year's all about going, and we're talking about going to Clinton. But also, God wants us to go to all the world, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So in July, you're like, oh, Mexico in July? It don't matter if you go in November or July. It's hot in Mexico. Okay, so trust me and Tyler and Shorty went, and it was hot when we went. So in July, from July 6th through 11th, we have an opportunity. If you're in discipleship, your discipler says, man, they're plugging along. They're getting it. They're doing what needs to be done. They're memorizing God's word. They're established in God's word. Then you're eligible to go, okay? That's the only requirement is you're at least established in discipleship, you're plugging along, or you've been through and, you know, you have a good testimony. So we're going to go. We've been there 2 years ago. We took a trip, more of a, just to kind of see, but then we built 3,000 or something concrete blocks, so it was more than just go and see. But, man, this is a great entry-level opportunity for you to go and see what's going on in another part of the world. And, you know, maybe some of us have been like, well, I've been to Mexico. Cancun is not Oaxaca, Mexico. Okay, I'm telling you that right now. It's not the same, because I've been to Cancun before I was saved, and Oaxaca is not the same. Okay, so it's more of a, especially right in Santa Maria, Huatuco, where Joe and Amy live, it's more dirt roads, you know, more third world type country. But then you can go right down the road and there's a resort. So, you know, it's a little bit different. But they don't just focus right there solely on their little piece of the pie. They go out into the mountains. They go all over. They get God's word all over New Mexico. So we're going to have an opportunity. If you're interested in that, in 2 weeks on Sunday after church, we're going to have a meeting about that. And we'll lay out all the details, the price, and what we're going to be doing and all that. So just be praying about that right now. Okay, we did that strategically in the summertime for a couple reasons, right? The summertime, people go on vacation anyway, right? So what better way to take a vacation than to go and serve God? Two, our youth are out of school. Our teachers are out of school. There's opportunities that happen in the summer that might not happen any other time. So, and there was a window for us to be able to go at that time. So pray about that diligently, and if you want to know more about that, come in 2 weeks. I'll talk about it. I'll mention it again next week, but come and hear what God is doing there. So the least you can do is pray, and if God's leading you to give, maybe even towards that trip, if you just like, I can't go, but I can fund somebody else to go, man, just give towards that, right? Put this in a fund for those that are going, so because it costs, right? It does cost, but I know that God is not broke, and if he wants you to go, here's the thing. Maybe you're sitting there right now, and you're like, I can't even afford to go to Taco Bell, right? If God wants you to go, and I will testify of this because he did this in my life, if he wants you to go, you're going. Amen. I'm just going to tell you right now. He will send you to Oaxaca, and he will provide the funds supernaturally in a way that you're like, I don't even know how this happened, and then you just get to be along for the ride, so be praying about that. So last week, okay, we looked briefly through verses 1 through 9 in Joshua chapter 1. And we kind of used that as a springboard to lay out what God is doing here at New Life. And we used it as an overview for the vision that God has for us. And we know it that Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it tells us, and it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Okay, that's our verse for this year, but God just fit it perfectly together to where we're beginning the book of Joshua as well. And they're preparing to go. They're preparing to do what they've been waiting to do and what they should have done 40 years prior to this. And ourselves, we are to be obedient when God tells us to do something. He tells Joshua in verse 2 to arise and go. I'm calling you to attention, Joshua. You need to arise, you need to come to attention, and you need to go because you're about to cross this raging river and you're about to deliver the people across the Jordan. But you got to arise and then go. And the question that we have is, are we a follower or are we a leader? If you're a follower, you are a leader. That's the thing. We need to be following Jesus, and we need to be having some fruit, right? Because when we're following Christ, there should be fruit in our life, and then others are going to be following you as you're following Christ, and you be ready to yield as they pass you. Be ready to yield as they grow and go on by, because that happens. Others will follow us while we're following Jesus. Our job is to fall into rank and rise up and go. Okay, Joshua was a warrior, man. He's just out winning battles and doing exactly what Moses was telling him to do, what God was laying down. And here we find the leadership being transferred because Moses is gone. Moses passed. And God says, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord has come to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go. It's your time. And Joshua pictures Jesus for us. He's our redemption. He is our, man, he is what changes us. And if we don't follow him, we will never see the promised land. If we don't surrender our life to Jesus Christ and fall into rank and say, you are my king, you are my leader, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, then this is all we have right here until death. And then we don't want what comes after that. Jesus says in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Some of us love to fish and we are really good at it. Sometimes, right? If the fish are biting. But what about, how often do we say, you know what? I'm going to go fishing for some men today. I'm going to go and take God's word, the greatest bait, the greatest lure to lead people to Jesus. How often do we do that? No, not very often. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Are we hearing from Jesus today? Our verse, Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus never says to pick and choose. He specifically tells us to go and preach to every creature, every person that he puts in front of us. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, and man, this verse, we like to quote it, we like to spit it out, we like to talk about it, we like to think that we're about it, but where are you in this passage? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And verse 17, we leave that off. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. You must live by faith every second of every day. Or you will say, I am ashamed of the gospel. Instead of, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Is this verse true for you? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Paul tells us it's the power of God. God's power is what leads us to salvation. But we have to believe it, right? God could, if he wanted to, put us in a chokehold and like, you're not going to breathe again until you believe, right? He could do that because he's God. But he doesn't. He gives us free will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. He don't want us to not believe, but he's like, I've made the way perfectly clear. And the way is paid, but you must believe. It's been said that we won't truly live something out that we don't first believe ourselves. We must experience this power. You must experience the love of God. Just as Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, but God hath given us the spirit, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, right? Every word is important. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Have you experienced that? The text tells us that the just shall live by faith in Romans 1:17. God uses you and me to reveal the righteousness of himself through our lives. And then it's passed on through faith to faith. God uses you and me to reveal that from one soul to another, personal contact. Man, personally investing in others, not money, but the heart. Okay? When we think of investment, we instantly go to our finances. But what are we investing from our heart? What are we investing from God's word? I'll read you a verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Second Corinthians 9, 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. When farmers go in the spring and begin to plant their crops, they don't put one seed in the ground and be like, man, I hope this whole field grows. I hope it multiplies. God, you're going to have to do it. No. They put the seed in the planter, and man, today's technology, they like hit a button and sit back and eat in the easy chair in the tractor and plant the whole field. The whole entire thing. By faith, they put thousands of dollars worth of seed into the ground, expecting to be able to reap that in the fall. They put all the work in, and then it's out of their hands. Yes, they can water it, and they can fertilize it, and they can do all that, but man, if God doesn't want that seed to grow, it's not going to grow. If they were to sow sparingly, they're going to reap sparingly. Plant one seed, might get 10. Plant a billion seeds, you're going to get a number that you can't even say. That goes for us as well. He which soweth sparingly, he which does not share the gospel much, shouldn't expect much fruit in their life. How many people did you lead to Christ this year? None. How many times did you share the gospel? Once. In 365 days, that's just ridiculous for us to be able to say that. And that might be all up in our grill, but man, God doesn't want us to keep our mouth shut when it comes to his word. He wants us to, man, he wants us to sow bountifully. He wants us to get the seed out of there. And we have to go in order for that to happen. We have to have personal conversations. In the world that we live in today, we like to just communicate through social media blast or whatever it is and be like, well, man, look at all the people I just reached. Where's the heart in that? And I'm not saying that you can't do that, but it's a dangerous place to be. We must go. We must see this as a great opportunity. And this is why we all, as the body, have to be on board for this. Because as God's laying this out to Joshua, Joshua, it's now your time to lead. And Joshua, you're going to be the one to lead these people, the children of Israel, across the Jordan. And then he begins to lay out more and more details. And this was probably like blowing Joshua's mind, like, yeah, sure, you're going to stop the water, and we're going to cross it. They're going to stand in it, and every time while they're standing at the water's not going to come, and we're going to cross the dry land. Sure, he doesn't ever question God. He's obedient. When God says to do something, he's like, let's rally the troops. guys, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to accomplish it, because God, this is what God said. We don't want to be left in the dust. We want to get in and get involved. We have no idea what each great opportunity will look like. And this is why we must walk by faith and not by sight, because we want to see. Show me what that great opportunity is going to look like, just so I can identify it when it comes along, right? Every opportunity is completely different. Right, if you're evangelizing, right, if you're out sharing the gospel with somebody at your job or maybe on the street or at Casey's or whatever it might be, every time it's different. But every time the message is the same. And every time we must walk by faith and not by sight. Because when we have our eyes open and that's it and not our heart, we're going to be like, no, not this person. No, not today. This isn't a good time for me. Jesus was about to send up into heaven when he gives this charge to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so one of the last things that he told his disciple, one of the last words was to go. The world is waiting, guys. Go and spread the good news of Jesus. Peace out. I'll see you later. And the world's still waiting for you and I to go. What if they would have said, never now, Jesus. That's okay, Jesus. That's not on our agenda. That's not really what we had in mind for the rest of our lives. And we really don't want to die for it. What if that's what they would have said? What if they would not have gone? What if we won't go? Who will that affect? And how will that affect others? Joshua in chapter 3, we're going to kind of be a little bit all over the place today, just to kind of lay this out, and then next week we'll begin to dig in deep into Joshua. But in Joshua chapter 3, we see that they were preparing to cross the Jordan. And God had given the instructions on how everything was going to roll and how, and man, he's so specific. He's so specific on everything, and down to every single detail, because that's how he is. Perfect and complete. And Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that will trust in him. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 9, we see this. It says, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. He says, come on over here. He gathered them up. He gathered them together to expound what God had told him. Sound familiar? Kind of like what we're doing right now? We gather together because we want, not that we can't hear from God from our recliner at home, not that we can't hear from God listening to the word driving down the road, but it's so important to gather together, right? Because what if one of the people, right, didn't come when Joshua said, hey, everybody, come here, I got to tell you what God said? They would have been left out. Then they would have been like, what the heck is going on? You guys are crazy. They needed to hear. So man, he's like, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. So they assembled. And this is, like I said, what we're doing. We gather together to hear from God because we need to get our marching orders. And this is why church attendance is so important. This is why being together with the body of Christ on Sunday mornings and every other time that we can gather is so important. And it must be a priority in our lives. It's so God can speak to us as a whole, right? As the body. So that we all know what we're doing and where we're going and how we're going to do it. Instead of blasting out a post on Facebook or GroupMe or something, they're like, hey, we're going to do... No, we gather together physically. And Joshua tells them, he goes on to say, this is how you will know God is among you. You will see him at work. They would see with their own eyes what God was doing as he went before them, just like you and I. Because the question that we have is, do we see God at work around us? Do we see God moving and shaking in our lives and the lives of those around us? If you don't, you're probably asleep, right? You're probably asleep. You're either lost, right? or you're physically taking a nap. Your soul needs to be made alive. We need to wake up. We need to quit taking so many naps because they're both dangerous. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God, right? We have to be saved in order to be a child of God, in order to have eternal life with Him. And we spend so much of our time sleeping when we could be serving Him with our lives. We could. I go to bed early, right? But it's because I get up early, right? Even from a child, I couldn't sleep in. I don't understand it. My kids, man, they could sleep till noon if they wanted to. And I'm like, well, now 3/4 of my day is gone, right? Because that's just how my day rolls. And God doesn't allow that to happen to me. But man, maybe we manage our time a little better, and because there's not a whole lot happening spiritually while we're asleep. So we need to wake up. The children of Israel were called to attention here, to listen to what God told Joshua. They were getting prepared to go, right? They had such a great opportunity that was right before their eyes. And in moments, they would get to set foot on the land that they'd been trying to reach for 40 years, right? As they wandered around, like, God made it clear. Listen, this is where you need to go. It's not a 40-year journey, but you've made it that way. I mentioned last week how we wander, oftentimes aimlessly, without purpose or direction, and we're okay with that. You know why? Because there's no responsibility when we're doing this. No responsibility when we're cool with just wandering around aimlessly, just doing whatever we want, woo-doo-doo. But what happens when in our lives when God calls us to attention? When He says, hey, come hither, or hey, arise, do we prepare to go? The days are short, the time is short, the days are numbered, but where is the urgency to go? Where is the fire? Where is the passion? Because oftentimes we let that just kind of smolder in our lives, right? God is, man, that passion and that fire that He gives us when we meet Jesus Christ and we're born again and we're like, I got to tell everybody what happened in my life and I don't care what they think. And then one bad thing happens and we're like, when somebody's like, hey, you're a lunatic, and then we're like, well, I don't really want to tell anybody that anymore because I don't like being called a lunatic or a crazy guy or a Bible thumper. And then we're like, I'm just going to be good with just going through my life. We snuff that fire out. And we begin to wander without purpose or direction. God gave us all we need at the moment of salvation. But we tend to stuff it down in our pocket, right? Get that out of the way instead of using it. It's been bestowed upon us. God's given us His word. He's given us the gospel. Man, how could we not want to tell somebody about it? Turn with me to James chapter 4. I want to give you an illustration. James chapter 4, verse 13. I came across this in my reading a couple days ago, and I'm like, it's kind of fitting to the world that we live in today. In James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there in a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice and you're boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. It begins with the word go, not in a great way. Oftentimes when we're preparing to do something or go somewhere, we leave God completely out. We plan down to the smallest detail of maybe our vacation, of we're going to do this at this moment and this is how we're going to roll, and God has nothing to do with it. Maybe it's our day. God has no place in that plan at all. And here's the thing. We can, if we are not careful and prayerful, do this in ministry. We can have the greatest plan to reach every single house on that map on the wall back there, to reach every soul in Clinton, Missouri. And we can plan it down to the greatest detail and have training and have all of these things and be so diligent to lay it out and cast the vision. But if we're doing it for us, for, man, did you see what New Life Baptist Church did? Where was God? Where was God in that plan? We see in the text, James, that there were some that had big plans to go into the city and buy and sell and get gain from all of this. But never is there a mention of God and their plan. Focused on physical gain and not spiritual gain. And that's a trap in the world we live in today, especially with all of these different crazy things going on with this cryptocurrency and all of this. Get rich quick, right? And give me $100, I'll turn it into $1,000. We can't get the $100 out fast enough, right? It's a dangerous thing. And it's pointing us right to the end, okay? The same goes for us. Our plans, our life, our minutes, our seconds, our days. There's a song, and it's not a Christian song, and I'm sorry. But it's a song by Garth Brooks, and I'm kind of a big fan. And it's called If Tomorrow Never Comes. It's a song about his love towards his wife. And that if he didn't get a tomorrow, would she know how much he loved her? The song reminds us that what we do today should impact others tomorrow, if it comes. It's a few of the lyrics here. It says, did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? If my time on earth were through and she must face this world without me, is the love I gave her in the past going to be enough to last if tomorrow never comes? How are souls being affected by the love of God that is living inside of us each and every day? Are we making an impact on the souls around us, in our families, in our work co-workers, in our neighbors, in our community? Are we making an impact with the love of God that they say, man, praise Jesus for him and or her investing in my life, though they may not be here today? Not to leave a lasting legacy for ourselves, but to leave a lasting legacy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did I try in every way to show them every day just how much Jesus loved them? And if my time on earth were through, and they must face this world without me being here, is the love that I showed them from God's word enough? It's going to be enough to last if tomorrow never comes. This life that we are living is not easy. And there are many things that are pulling at us each and every way. Everywhere we go, something is trying to entice us, to draw us away from God. We think it's trying to draw us towards them. It's trying to draw us away from God because, man, the punk, man, he doesn't like God, right? And he doesn't like us like loving God. So he's like, I'm going to draw you away from God, and I'm going to entice you with shiny things. And before you know it, where's God? He's there, but where are we? It doesn't have to be this way. James reminds us here that, man, our life is but a vapor. It appears for a season, then it's gone. He says it vanishes away. And oftentimes, there's no trace of that one left that is left. And this should charge us to get after it while there's still time and leave a mark on those around us, right? Not that, oh, this person was so good at this or this person was so good at this, but this person loved Jesus Christ with all of their lives, with everything that they had. And that left a mark in my life. There's some that have gone before me that invested so much of their heart and soul into my life through God's word. And if it wasn't for them, I don't know where I would be today. And now, they're with Jesus, right? They're gone. They're not in this earth anymore. But they left a lasting impression in my life because of what they invested in me. Verse 15 tells us that our plans need and must be directed by God. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. How often do we say, God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? There's a trip to Oaxaca in July. God, do you want me to do this? Because it kind of sounds good. It kind of sounds fun. I kind of want to go. I want to be able to say I went to Oaxaca, Mexico. Make sure it's God's will. Make sure he's in your plans. Make sure he's directing your steps. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. He will direct thy path. Don't leave God out. He's not a band-aid, right? And man, if you've been in ministry very long, you've been born again very long, and you've been around people very long, you see God as a band-aid in many people's lives. Something's going wrong. Thank you, God. Whew, heal that up. Oh, thanks, God. And then they go right back off, right? God's not a band-aid. God's not only there when we're hurting or need something. He's constant. He's our rock. He's our deliverer. He's our refuge. He's our strength. Why? Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. These folks that James is addressing here rejoice not in hope or in the Lord, but in what they can and what they could do. The look at me people. Those that can't pat themselves on the back enough. I say all this to say this. We're charged to go. Don't do it out of guilt. Don't do it out of obligation to others. Do it because you desire to serve the living God. Okay? Do it because you want to serve the one that saved you. The one that gives us the instructions and the marching orders. Because if we do it out of obligation to someone else, or we do it out of guilt, where's God in that? We'll end with this. The end is near and the time is running out, so we must go. And back in our text, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. I can't wait. There's so much in Joshua. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get to this part so we can preach through this part. But just to give us a little, I've never done this before, given little tidbits here and there before we get into a book, but I think this is going to be really cool. But in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out a spit and two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. If you don't know what a harlot is, come see me after service and we'll talk about that. We obviously will have to cover that eventually, but if you don't, just come see me and we'll talk about that. But Joshua, he sends out a couple spies, a couple dudes to go spy out the land, to go and see before the whole gang goes into battle. What they were not aware of is what would take place or who they would meet. They found refuge in a harlot's home so they didn't get caught. They hid on a rooftop, right? This was not their plans, I'm sure. But they used what they had in order to stay alive. God provided a refuge, a place. But here's what I want us to see, and here's what I want us to have. Man, we need to open our hearts. These spies were going to spy out the land, and they did so. They did exactly what they were told to do, but they also spied out the fields. And they found their wide end of harvest. And if they would have not gone, then Rahab and her family would not have been spared. Sorry for the spoiler, right? You have the word, you can read ahead. They would have been killed along with the rest of the city. But that was not God's plan. I hope you see where we're going with this. We must be willing to go into the battlefield and be willing to be used by God. And it's not all a physical battle. In fact, it's way more spiritual. The Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Old Testament's full of amazing battles. This is like, this is the man's word, right? Battle after battle after battle. Physically, slaughtering people, overcoming cities. Yes! Well, we must put on our spiritual glasses and see exactly what God is doing. Guys, if we're not willing to go to battle, souls are going to be lost. We must be willing to go into the battlefield. We have to take the gospel to the lost. If these spies would not have went and met Rahab and, you know what, worked out this deal to where she was saved, if they wouldn't have went out, if they wouldn't have took the charge to go, it says, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went. God's telling us to go. Go view the land. And while you're doing that, guess what? I'm going to place somebody in your life each and every time for you to be able to share the gospel with, for you to be able to invest in spiritually. That's what he wants you to do. We got to first be willing to just go like these spies. And you know what? Kind of sounds cool to be a spy, right? I kind of want to be a spy. Well, we are. We are a spy. Living in a land that hates us. And we got to be willing to go into those harlots' homes. Go reach those kind of people. All people. Every creature. Even the harlots. We have to be willing to share the news with them so that they have a chance. We can't make anyone believe. I wish we could. Man, I wish somebody would have made me believe years before I did. We can't change who people are, but we can give them the goods so that they can make a choice. You know, Rahab could have ratted these fellows out. They're in here. These guys you're looking for are in here, because the word got out really quick. Okay? Really quick that these guys were here. But instead, she spared them because she hid them. Because God loved her. She spared because she hid them. Church, go into the field. Be willing vessels. Be obedient. Right? It's the very best way to show that you believe. Serve the one that served that saved you. John 12:46. I'll leave you with this. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Our youth have this memorized already, I'm sure, because it was an assignment for this week. Jesus Christ came into the world as a light because we are in darkness. This world we live in is a dark place, and we abide in many places. We hide from people. We keep ourselves locked away. We hide in sin. But Jesus tells us that he's the light of the world, and we must abide in him so that we should, his key word, should, right? Should not walk in darkness, because he gives us a choice. I'm the light. You know what? You can abide in me, or you can abide in darkness. But I'm making a way, and I'm giving you every opportunity. If we're going to go, we must first go to him. We must seek refuge in him. We must seek guidance from him. Then, and only then, can we go. What a great opportunity we have right before us to abide in Christ. Right? Those times that other people don't see. Those times that are in our quiet time during the day when we're reading God's word. Those times, man, where we just abide in Christ. So that, man, when we go out into the darkness, the light is radiating through us. And we illuminate that darkness so that we can see what's in our way, what's before us, so that he can light our paths. Hide that word in your heart so you might not sin against thee, right? We must do that. Church, we got to go. We're going. The time is, man, urgent. Time is urgent. I don't know about anybody else. I hate sitting at red lights, okay? Praise the Lord, Clinton finally fixed the dumb red light at Green Street, right? Every morning, it would like boil my blood because I'm sitting there doing nothing. Why is this stupid thing still red? And I would go around the block, right? So I wasn't sitting still, because it just drives me bonkers to sit still. When I used to work in the city, I hated traffic. I would go 20 miles out of my way, right? Well, I know there's a traffic jam there, so I'm just going to keep moving. It took me longer, but it didn't feel like it because I was moving. We got to do that with Jesus, right? Quit sitting at the red lights. I mean, if it's a red light from God, by all means, you better stop. Okay? Don't break the law. Don't do that. But go until he says stop. He'll tell us. He'll tell you to stop. He'll tell you, hold up. Hold the phone. You need to stop for a minute. And then he'll make it clear when we need to go again. Right now, the light is green. He's making it so clear the light is green and we need to be going and quit stopping and quit sitting and quit doing nothing and quit wasting time at the red light. Make a right turn and go down the other street because God has somebody for us. Rahab's waiting down there for us to take the message to her. Let's do that today. Let's do that with our lives. I don't know if tomorrow will ever come, but let's make an impact on somebody this today for the sake of the gospel. Let's pray.